Welcome to this week's episode of On The Box. No, Rob hasn't got a very, very nasty cold. This is Andy opening the show, which is quite a rarity.
Yes, it is. And you did it well.
Yeah, did I?
Well done. You get a round of sarcastic applause.
Yes.
Also, did that right next to the mic. I might have just exploded Rob's ears.
No, you didn't, thankfully. See, I went for the golf clap.
You did the respectful kind of pat.
Which honestly doesn't sound like something else when you do that near a mic. We're not going to go there. Anyway, as Andy said, I'm going to get confused because there's Andrew on the left and Andy on the right, and this is going to get confusing because I'm the only Rob this time. It's rarity.
Quick, Andy, change your name to Rob.
Rob Free.
Okay. I'm fine with this now. I can cope now, Andrew.
Phew. I'm glad we sorted out this intense crisis. Let's move on to the news. Yes. So, Rob 3, what do we have?
Right, first, we'll go with Ger Martin.
Oh, we'll go with Ger Martin.
Yep. Well, as well, a few might be aware, George Martin, the producer of the Beatles, passed away over last week. And Ger Martin has been quite annoyed with tweets, thinking that it's been him. And he wants to insist that he is, in fact, not dead.
I would like to question if people are actually stupid.
I think it's more about they really want this last book to be finished.
Oh, no, Andy. Second to last book.
Is it the second to last?
Yes, second to last.
It's
been the second to last book since 97.
Yes, but he did say he finished the whole lot by 1998.
Yeah, I know.
But he did say don't hold your breath, but this is taking the mick.
So what he's doing is like he's trying to drag it out long enough that time travel will be invented so you can then just send the finished copies back and have it all done by 98.
See, I'm pretty sure that Ger Martin is actually secretly Asian because he's currently running on Asian time. Every single person from like the Indian subcontinent I know has this sense of time where they say, I'll be there at this time and then 3 days later they turn up. I think that's Ger Martin. He's secretly Asian. I didn't just make that up.
See, I want to contradict you, but you did say we were going to start at 2:30, and it's now like 2:55.
See?
So, yeah.
Asian time is a real thing.
You heard it here first. Ger Martin is actually Asian.
Yes.
We've blown this story wide open.
There's an episode title already.
We'll see. It's a long way to the end of the episode. There's still plenty of time. So, yeah, he's still alive. Ger Martin is still alive.
Asian.
George Martin, the legendary producer of the Beatles, sadly passed away. Real musical genius. Real musical revolutionary. I'm still not sure how people can think that Ger Martin would actually set foot in a music production facility or a music studio of any sort.
You say that, but he is actually a big music fan.
He's a massive fan. Yeah. He's a massive fan, but then again, you know, I'm a massive fan of music.
Yeah, but you also don't have a ridiculously best-selling series of books.
No.
I would like to step into this recording facility just for the hell of it.
Oh, you don't think I have one?
Oh my God, you are Ger Martin.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
No, I
don't look like a salty sea captain.
You do not.
Who's actually quite jolly and happy and merry.
It's like Captain Birdseye crossed with Santa Claus.
He is.
That's a scary thought, but that's true.
All right, so we've mentioned Ger Martin, so I suppose it does lead us into the obvious trailer.
Yeah, Game of Thrones Season 6 trailer. It happened that there was Game of Thronesy things in it.
What do you guys think?
Well, I like it. I think it shows, I mean, this was the final trailer. Definitely the final trailer, wasn't it?
Maybe.
So, what is it exactly you liked about this? Because I just want to remind people, Andy is the one who we had to push
to watch
Game of Thrones in the first place.
It wasn't I you had to push me to find time to. And you forced me to watch 5 of the series
basically,
in about 4 months.
Andy watches Game of Thrones like Ger Martin writes it.
Yes. Sporadically and with passion.
Obviously, what I noticed in that trailer was Bran Stark walking.
Yes.
Main
Jon Snow dead.
Yeah, yeah,
I like how, like, this straight up, just the first shot is just, this is Jon Snow. He is dead. Look at how dead he is.
But the culprit was Zena Badawi.
But in earlier trailers, he has been seen on a horse as well. So it's either going to be a flashback or...
What I want to know was, at the end, you know the guy with the sword going, I'm not used to combat, but, you know, so apologies for this. Who is the body that you see? Whose body is that? Because in the foreground, you see a body.
Yeah, I don't really know. I assume that's something we'll find out.
If only there was a certain YouTube channel somewhere, probably, that actually focused on this, going through trailers and then picking them apart.
The Targaryen
like
lass.
Half the YouTube ones.
And then the Targaryen lass walking with all the other people. And she looks like she's down and out again.
Yeah, she had a time of it in the last series.
Yeah, I don't know. The Targaryen's up again, down again, gone again, Finnegan. Finnegan Targaryen. There you go. There's a name. That's what her son... If she has a son, that's what he should be called. Finnegan Targaryen.
Finnegan Targaryen, the stallion who will mount the world.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I can buy into it.
And it's ironic you say that, because there was a horse statue or something like that,
yes,
wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
So, yeah. Anyway.
I mean, I like the way the story's gone. I haven't read the books myself, so I'm not sure how it...
They're on the shelf.
How it, like, deviates from. But...
They're on the shelf. Right.
I know, but I actually have to read other books as well. And I have a degree.
I like the way he's backing away slowly from the thought of reading the Game of Thrones books.
I don't have 2 years, Rob. It's going to be longer to read them than it is from to finish the next book.
Hey, I've now got to like 3 of them in a week.
Don't show off. I got through one book in a year once.
Well done. Was it The Very Hungry Caterpillar?
Oh,
it was The Gruffalo. And then The Gruffalo's Child. And then The Gruffalo Goes to Town.
And then Mr. Gruffalo Goes to Washington.
Yes.
Oh, I finished the book in 2 months, actually. Well, so that was quite a record for me.
What, The Gruffalo?
No, that was Splinter Cell.
I was going to say, you finished The Gruffalo after 2 months? How slow do you read?
That slowly is how he reads.
Oh, anyway, okay, so final thoughts on the Game of Thrones trailer then.
I really like Cersei being all, I choose violence.
Mm, yeah.
Because she's sassy.
Yes. And what was it? I've forgotten her name. I had a name in my head and it's gone now. Red-headed Stark girl.
Sansa. Mm.
Sansa, that's
I was a really big fan of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Do you know what? No, do you know what was in my head was Stannis Stark? But then I thought, no, not Stannis, because Stannis makes stair lifts. And I didn't see any stair lifts in Game of Thrones.
So this is the exciting story of the Stark's slow journey to the top.
Yes.
I like that.
Also, I am now picturing like an old lady on a stair lift and just in the background, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, right. Okay. I think we killed that story.
Yes, we have.
But it looks
just
promising.
Like Jon Snow.
We'll end it there. Yes. What were you saying?
We have to finish it. It looks promising.
Yes.
If it's not the last trailer, I look forward to the next one. And is it 23rd of April?
24th, wasn't it?
24th that it starts.
Something like 23rd.
It's around that time. We don't need to know. What are we, some kind of television-based podcast?
No, we're not that at all.
No, we really are not.
We try to be that, but we fail. Constantly. Okay, move on. Let's move on.
Speaking of things like tangentially related to television shows, Kiefer Sutherland, him off for 24. He's got a new venture, and now Super Agent Jack Bauer will be releasing a folk album.
Is it Finger in Your Ear Time?
You say that. Do you want to know what the album's title is?
What?
It's called Down in a Hole.
I was referencing Viz. You know the folk singer in Viz?
I am not familiar with Viz.
Oh,
your reference is like died in the
North. I know what
Balbury.
It is.
I forgot you're not from the north of England.
No, I'm not.
I know what it
you're
is.
You're from
but...
Eaglescliff, where you have tea with the vicar.
We're like got a circle of southerniness in the northern wasteland.
Yes, it's an oasis for people from south of Watford. And he's trying to figure out what we're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm just not going to explain.
Okay, so.
But yeah, Kiefer Sutherland. He's going to be a folk singer. Cause why not?
I have to, I mean, obviously it's a funny story because you're not going to expect it, but you have to commend him for it. I mean,
does he play an instrument?
I don't know. I think we'll find out.
I kind of hope he doesn't and he's just going to step on stage. Well, I hope this works.
Well, I think he's going to be, you know those accordion things? I think he's going to have one of those because I can just see him with one of those.
Apparently, though, he is touring the album as well around the US.
Okay.
It is a big US tour, so it must be like, well, I'd think he must play an instrument.
He should do. I can see him playing
an instrument. Yeah, I would imagine he'd do it. He can like either play an instrument or sing or some combination of the two.
Yeah, well, most
of otherwise, this seems like a really ill-advised venture.
Well, most of the folk singers I know tend to play instruments as well, so.
Yeah, I think it's kind of one of the key bits of folk, is it like you have an acoustic guitar with you or whatever.
That's kind of like the basic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although.
Well, that's classed
folk
as
singing 101.
Yeah.
That's more classed as unplugged, though, Rob, if it's just an acoustic guitar.
Well, no, I was about to say, although I do know some folk singers who have got away with just a tambourine.
And a washboard. You need a washboard as well.
No, that's bluegrass. That's not folk.
I don't know your crazy music.
Now you're going into hillbilly music.
Yeah, they have the washboard and the drum kits and the headbanging. That's folk music.
And the
synthesizers, that's
though,
folk as well.
He does have a interest, like in music, he does have his own record label from 2002.
Really?
Yeah.
What's
he founded with Jude Cole.
What's it called?
Ironworks.
Okay.
See? So. Heavy metal album.
Okay, let's move away from the folky Kiefer Sutherland.
That's the one that apparently, yes, he does play guitar.
Does he?
So that mystery is solved.
Okay.
The detective work / basic reading.
It would have been funnier if it was just a tambourine.
I can't even see Keith and a tambourine in the same room as each other.
That's why it's funny.
Oh, thank you for explaining comedy to me.
Yes. I'm here all week. Anyway, let's move on.
Yes, because we've got one final bit of news, because I believe the Crystal Maze Experience has opened, hasn't it, Andy?
Yeah, this is actually a quite...
Okay, good. I was going to be worried if you said no, because that's no. This entire segment ruined.
Well, actually, it's not open yet.
Oh, no, it is open. It's all ruined. Okay, that's it. End the show.
It's not open to the public. It's open to the public, I think, starting next month. But literally what this is, it's a recreation of the zones and the Crystal Dome, the full set, so to speak, called the Crystal Maze Experience.
Yeah.
And it lets members of the public go in and actually play the games and have their own version of Crystal Maze with a team.
So, do you just go in team by team then? Or is it like a free-for-all?
I'd think you'd go in team by team.
Yeah, because a free-for-all would be a bad idea.
But, yeah, it sounds something, I mean, apart from the price, which is £50 a person, or £60 at weekends.
Okay.
But it is in London, so it might be understandable. It sounds a brilliant idea. I think there's a few other shows. I'm not entirely sure which ones that have actually done this experience.
And what do you win if you get into the Crystal Dome?
Be a crystal.
Is that it?
You won't win a holiday, will you?
No, they don't do the whole kind of gold ticket thing where they have the giant fan underneath and a certain number of people go in and just grab loads of tickets.
There's a picture in here of what seems to be that.
But it does have like a guardrail in the... Well, what looks like a guardrail in the Crystal Dome. So it looks quite... I think it's just the experience as well, then. You pay for that experience. You're not going to pay... Well, you probably get a crystal at the end. You have to get a crystal at the end, because that was the best bit of the Crystal Maze. I wouldn't care about the whole day.
I feel like there's going to be something.
No, the best bit about the Crystal Maze was beating the Crystal Maze and getting the big prize. And the crystal. Didn't everyone just get a crystal for being part of the Crystal Maze?
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you did. You only got a holiday, though, for winning it.
And? It's a free holiday? Are you telling me you'd turn down a free holiday?
No, but I wouldn't turn down the crystal either.
Yeah,
it's
but you get both if you
probably worth a lot more than
won.
A holiday now.
Yeah, but you get both if you won. Andrew, he seems to be having trouble with this concept of winning...
It's okay. So the concept of competition is tough to understand. I would assume like you get maybe like an even shinier crystal if you win.
What was it? Covered in chrome or something?
Or maybe a crystal covered in even more crystals.
So something from Schwarzkopf then?
Yes, Swarovski,
not Schwarzkopf. Schwarzkopf, a chocolate thing, aren't they?
No, wait, aren't they like hair products?
No, is it hair products? I don't know. I can't remember. I've seen too many adverts.
Yes, if you're in the Crystal Maze, you get shampoo. That's
it. Although, they have mentioned as well, I mean, you do get your host. I'm not sure who it's actually played by. But that guides your team through the full experience.
So it's not Richard O'Brien,
No. Or Ed Tudor Paul.
He was never as good.
But yeah, it'll even cue the music to go in between your games. And they look quite realistic to what it looked like in the show.
Okay.
Although Industrial Zone and Ocean Zone were never in the same Crystal Maze. So
you're one of those people who likes something, then goes to a convention and picks faults with it in front of the panel of people who've been in it, aren't you?
Oh, well, okay.
This one's quite an obvious fact, Rob.
Just to interrupt, I've been looking at this article, and literally, apparently, the prize of winning is just knowing you've won.
Do you don't get a crystal?
No, you don't. You don't get anything. Just get
sad. Look at that disappointed face. I've never seen you look that disappointed.
But just remember, every time you look at the hole in your wallet where that 50 quid used to be, you can know that you won the Crystal Maze.
Oh, no, no. He's got the memories for a short time until something comes along to kill those brain cells.
Well, that's okay, because you spent 50 quid on this. There's no way you have enough money for alcohol left.
True, true. Anyway, is there any other news?
No, I think that's
all. That's it, actually, today.
It has not been a good news week.
Okay, so shall we take a break there?
Yeah, we may as well.
Okay, we'll be back in a moment after this message.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week, and do it reasonably well.
And welcome back to On The Box here on the Geek Show Podcast Network. Now we're going to move on to what we've been watching. So guys, what have you been watching?
Do you want to go first, Daddy?
Yeah, I'll go first. I've been watching, I'll probably get a stare of Rob here again, but Bear Grylls Mission Survive. I'm not sure if you have an opinion on Bear Grylls.
I just think he has a funny, funny name.
He does.
That is eminently worthy of joke material.
Yeah, but this is...
So is this a series in which Bear Grylls takes copies of his own DVDs of Mission Survive and throws them on a barbecue? Because Bear Grylls Mission Survive.
See? Mm-hmm. The jokes flow freely from the person that is Bear Grylls.
Moreover, it's a celebrity-based show, so Bear Grylls, a lot of celebrities. Not on the grill, but get mad.
Was his dad called Bear as well?
I don't actually know if that's his name.
Because that would be hilarious, because then it'd be Papa Bear Grylls.
I think it's just funny as Papa Grylls.
It's Edward Michael Grylls.
Mike Grylls.
Edward Michael
Grylls. Edward Michael Grylls.
Yeah.
Doesn't quite work. I think Papa Bear Grylls or Papa Grylls.
No, that's Bear Grylls' name, not his dad's name.
No, his name is Bear Grylls.
Yeah, we're talking about Papa Grylls.
Wait, did you say the celebrities on the show, Andy?
Yeah, it's the second series.
Oh my
series.
God, I hope Ger Martin shows up on one.
Bear Grylls, Ger Martin.
But forget that, I want them both to move to Los Angeles and solve crimes together.
It's, started...
That's the buddy cop series of the series of the century.
It had his the second show of the series yesterday. Notable celebrities on this year's series are Neil Morrissey, Stuart Pearce. Stuart Pearce.
What?
Jason Gardner.
Okay.
Who did Strictly. And that's only the only three that I've heard of. But last year was quite thingy as well. I had like Kelly Holmes and Tom Rosenthal from Friday Night Dinner.
Oh, him.
So I do think the
stuff
he
does not look
better.
Like the kind of guy who would survive in the wilderness.
Yeah, but the show in particular, though, it's Bear taking the and he's got two other people with him, and obviously the whole camera crew, but the survival experts, and they're taking these celebrities on literally his full survival experience, and that means what he eats, how he sleeps, climbing mountains, everything, and even Neil Morrissey actually nearly cut his hand off from his finger off from abseiling down the zip line, going down the zip line, and it's a really good thing to watch. I found it quite interesting, and it's still going.
And it's still going.
Yes, still going. Third episode, I think it's Thursday. Is it Wednesday or Thursday? Is it on? And it's really good. That's definitely a recommendation of mine.
Okay.
Oh, so, Rob, would you like to go next?
I haven't actually been watching a TV show per se. It's more a channel.
Right.
Ooh.
I've been watching NHK World.
I think you mentioned that before in the show.
I have mentioned it in passing. NHK World is basically the Japanese news channel. But unlike British news channels, what NHK World do, they have like a news program, but then everything else is like documentary shows and cultural shows and things to do with pop culture and all sorts of other things that are just part of its broadcasting. Oh, it's like,
I like that idea.
You know, it's like instead of showing the news repeats over and over and over again.
Yeah, so that 24-hour news thing of just, well, this just in, nothing has happened.
Yeah.
We're going to sit here and hope something happens in the next hour or so.
Yeah, basically.
Hope they'll seem like morons.
Hoping for something to go wrong so they could have more
to do. Well, I mean, they've got so many programs on there that, and okay, it's a Japanese news channel, so they're all Japan-centric, right? But they've got things like Core Kyoto and Ion Tokyo. Jay Mello deals a lot with kind of the Japanese music scene, dealing with rock and pop and various things like that. And there's some bands on there who I've discovered just by watching that show. One of the shows that I am a regular viewer of is this show called Imagine Nation. It's two separate words combined to make imagination, but Imagine and Nation. And it deals a lot with anime, manga, video games, that sort of thing. And the reason I watch it is because they're well ahead of the news that people get in the UK when it comes to certain things with the anime and manga stuff. With the video games, they're actually, surprisingly, somewhat a little bit behind us with the Western stuff. With the Eastern stuff, they're way ahead, obviously. But again, it's one of those programs that you only find on NHK World. And it's really weird to be talking about an entire channel, but there's no specific show that I could actually sit down and watch as a religious thing except for Imagine Nation, because I've been watching that for years. But NHK World as a channel, you could put it on and just leave it on, and there'd be something different to watch throughout the day. And I don't know of any other news channel that you can do that with.
Yeah, plus it'd be time to stare at Kay Burley's mug for hours on end.
Well, the thing is, they've got these shows, like, if you're really wanting to learn about Japan, I tell people, watch NHK World, just to get you into the idea of it. Because they've got shows like Japanology Plus, where they teach you a little bit about the history and society of Japan. They've got, design talks, where they actually talk about manufacturing and design and stuff like that. It's like watching the Japanese version of Grand Designs at times, you know, but with that typical Japanese presentation, which is a little bit weird. When you look at typical British sensibilities, it does come across as slightly alien. And I don't mean alien as in, you know, the xenomorphs in Ripley.
Yeah, slightly sort of, I want to say, fake about it.
Yeah, a little bit. You do get a little bit of that, but then they've got stuff like Great Gear, where they talk about all sorts of other things, you know, to do with life and home and various bits of technology and stuff like that. Begin Japanology Mini is basically teaching people Japanese, and it's basically like a course that they do. It's something that BBC might want to do for people coming to live over here. Learn English with us.
So which this probably be a different channel, but there is Japanese news, for example, what Russell Howard would look at, where they animate the news and
That's not Japan.
No, I think that's like
Taiwan, isn't it?
Yeah, Taiwan.
Yeah, that's Taiwan. Yeah. That's not Japan.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Well, one of the shows that I actually do quite like is one called At Home with Venetia in Kyoto. And it's about a woman called Venetia Stanley Smith, who has been living in Kyoto's Ohara district for over a decade. She's been there for a long time. She's very fluent in Japanese, and she's an artist as well. And it's basically about daily life, living in that area of Japan. And because she's a Westerner, you know, you have that kind of input. You get an idea of what it's like to be somebody who's lived, you know, what life is like for somebody who's lived in Japan for that many years and actually has absorbed the culture and has settled there and will probably never leave there.
Yeah, but it's not actually a native.
Yeah, but it's not actually a native. And it's nice to have that perspective, you know, because she's kind of like, what's his face? She's like, kind of like Paul Martin and Kevin MacLeod in that she's very affable and she's very personable. And she has an eye for what Western audiences will be interested in, which is very different from what Japanese audiences will be interested in. Does that make sense?
I guess so. I'm just not very sure what Japanese audiences are into.
Well, the thing is, I think it's more a cultural thing.
I get what you mean. Yeah. Like, obviously, there are cultural differences, and you need to know how to appeal to those.
Yeah. And then they've got these little programs. There was a great program I was watching on NHK last week. And what they did, they were trying to do a comparison between modern manufacturing methods and traditional handmade crafts. And what they had, they got a traditional handmade craftsman and these modern manufacturers to design these needles. And these needles were going to get pushed through a block of aluminium. And when you look at the difference in the modern manufacturing and the traditional handicraft, modern manufacturing, it's all computers and it's all machines and everything's computerized and everything's precise. The guy doing it by hand, though, had like the little hand-powered tools and a microscope. And he was preparing these needles by hand, you know, as in cutting and polishing and everything like that, doing it all by hand. And his needles were in some ways, they were better than the ones that were made by manufacturers. And these are needles, you know, like sewing needles.
Ooh.
And he was making them by hand.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And you don't see that on British TV in general. You don't see anything like that on British TV in general.
British TV, it is the culture thing, but I think British TV now, you need something to, well, either to be totally reality-based or just to stand out.
Well, the closest we get to seeing handicrafts on TV is when Paul Martin goes off from Flogget and goes to learn how to weave baskets or something like that.
And I guess we kind of get that with, I can't remember what they're called, but like the shows where like families that live like a family for the 1950s or whatever.
Yeah. And that's it. But you don't see modern craftsmen at work. And it'd be nice if BBC or ITV or Channel 4 or Channel 5 actually decided to make some programs like that.
You'd usually get them during the day if they did, no doubt. It seems like something they'd have where everybody...
Yeah, and I don't think it's right to relegate it to daytime TV. It's much better than daytime TV and more interesting. But that's where I've been watching.
Hey, cool. So I've been watching something which I wasn't even aware would come back until last night. Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle.
Ooh.
Which Stuart Lee, he is a comedian. I absolutely love him. He's so clever. He's got this... Basically, he's got sort of this persona of being like a washed-up second-rate comedian. Like, he'll deliberately make the set look like sort of a really dingy working men's club, sort of create this illusion. And he's so good at basically making jokes that are funny that shouldn't actually be funny. Like, he'll tell a joke and then spend about like 2 minutes completely deconstructing what he just said. Like, it's just, he's really clever and I adore him. So this one, got to admit, I can't really talk about the content too much of this show because it was on Islamophobia. So lots of very not safe to be repeated on the podcast jokes.
Yeah.
But he did like this really great one, basically like with the whole point of like playing on people's ridiculous assumptions by going on about Quakers and how they keep going into shops and tearing the faces off porridge packets, throwing the porridge all about.
They're throwing their porridge all about, aren't they? Was it creamy oaty porridge?
Had to make it dirty.
I'm not the one who made it dirty. That was Jordan's who made it dirty. You know, the cereal manufacturer?
Oh.
They're the ones who made it dirty because they sell porridge and it's quick and creamy porridge.
You filthy porridge.
What were you saying? I thought you were Jordan made it dirty.
Yes, what him as well.
He's not even here.
It's all Jordan's fault.
Oh, no. 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 It's in my head. Just Jordan just like rubbing porridge all over himself. Oh God.
There you go, Andy. And our work is done.
But yeah, it's true. It's kind of, surely even the comedians, it's kind of hard to talk about because a lot of what he does, like, aren't jokes in the strictest sense of the word.
Yeah.
Like, he more tells, like, a story. And that's another thing I love, that you can, like, do an entire 28-minute long set and it all just flows together beautifully. But a lot of it is kind of more rambling stories than straight-up jokes. Yeah. Like, I think one of the highlights of last night's episode was he did racist punchlines in a Chubby Brown impression, but then went from that to somehow doing a massive lecture on broadcasting law.
Okay.
But like, it sounds terrible, but it was so funny.
It basically does what we do on these podcasts. Go off on a complete tangent.
Yeah, it does basically. Like, start a joke, go off and talk about something else for like 5 minutes, then come back and finish the joke. And then like turn to the camera and start arguing with the audience about not finding the joke funny.
Cool.
Sounds different.
But yes, Stuart, it's probably not for everyone. It's a point he makes himself a lot of times. It's very niche humor, but like it's the kind of thing I love. So if you have a crazy sense of humor like I do, watch Julie.
Well, definitely worth looking into.
Oh yeah, I would say definitely at least check it out.
Cool. Right. Okay. So that's pretty much what we've been watching. So I think it's time for some fun and games.
Yes, it is.
So who wants to kick us off with this? What are we doing?
Well, I think Andy should introduce it since he found it.
I think the first one, I think somebody else should introduce it because I didn't realise how small the writing was and I've got my contacts in.
Yes, okay. would you like to introduce the concept of what it is we're doing?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yes.
I don't mind doing the first one because I know the show.
This is on your TV guide where you highlight over what you want to watch. You get the description.
Oh, the information button on Sky.
Yeah. These are a few real-life examples, which kind of...
haven't gone quite to plan.
Yeah, whoever wrote them probably doesn't like their job very much, or loves it a bit too much. We're not sure.
But either way, probably doesn't have it anymore.
Yes. This first one is for Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, and I don't mind Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives. I don't mind Guy Fieri. I think he's a pretty competent host. I think he's a pretty competent presenter. But according to this, it is a troll figurine comes to life and decides to roam the countryside eating garbage. And now I can never watch Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives again because there is a troll movie coming out with excellent acoustics.
I think sick one is for American Idol, which, to be fair, it's exactly what American Idol is. American Idol, starring Ellen DeGeneres and some other people.
Yes. Can you read the next one, Andy?
Is this actual okay to say on the show?
Yeah, it's fine, it's fine. You're just reading the description. This is a Comcast one
this
as well.
This is for a cat dog. It says, ascending the cat dog, fishing for trouble. Cat dog enroll in clown college where a cat gets kicked out for refusing to take a cream.
Do you want to say it without the laughter?
I can't say it.
Try it one more time.
I'll try the full thing again.
Yeah.
This is cat dog. You know that cartoon where...
Yeah.
Called Sending the Cat Dog, Fishing for Trouble. All right so far. Cat dog enrolls in clown college where cat gets kicked out for refusing to take cream pie in the bus.
And I just like afterwards it says animated.
The thing is, that's probably an accidental run. And it's brilliant.
Yes. I've got one of the best ones. And this is Sky. I recognize it. It is Sky, and it is The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And the information given is, this uplifting and intriguing drama depicts the life of a group of intellectuals who risk their lives by protecting the national security and military secrets. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart.
See, I'm sure that's one of those ones where it's just, it's got mixed up.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a really appropriate mix-up.
Yep.
This is for Out of Time, starring Denzel Washington and Eva Mendes.
What's this? Do you know where the time is? What the hell?
Oh.
WTF yeah. Comcast.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't understand that. Looks like someone's basically just stuck that on there.
Oh, I think that's a website link they've put onto the picture.
Okay. Anyway, you were saying about Denzel Washington.
This one. Denzel's to-do list. Number one, reconcile with hot wife, Eva Mendes. Two, solve double murder, brackets, his lover and her husband. Three, find missing cash, $450,000. And he's only got 24 hours to do it. Yikes, Denzel is going to be busy.
Yes, he is.
That's just someone having fun.
Yep.
It must be very slow days, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So what's yours then?
Yeah. Oh God, we keep giving Andy the really bad ones.
I think it's just worked out like that.
Fate has not been kind to you, Andy.
Do you want me to do this one, Andy? Okay, this is again another quality product from Comcast. This is 46 minutes of X's and O's. I think it's starring Bret Michaels. It says counter.
Who's lost a T?
No. It says counter, 8 of 46 minutes. Remaining rental, 23 hours, 18 minutes. HD. What's the best way to find out about a new girl? Interrogate her ex-boyfriend, of course. I'm sure they'll be open, honest, and partial, just like I am about my ex, the whore.
I'm introducing number 8.
Yes. No. You're doing 8?
Yeah, I'm doing 8.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm doing 7 then. This is Jekyll and Hyde, which is... The famous story has been updated for the 21st century. This time, Jekyll is a medical student who's been experimenting with an ecstasy-like drug that slowly turns him into a killer. Wait... I thought X was supposed to make you love people.
Okay. Brilliant. Now it's Andy's turn. And yeah. We need more.
This is for Matlock TV series. The description is a courtroom drama about a cagey...
No,
not the best bit.
No, I'm getting...
You're doing it backwards. All right. Go on.
This one is for Matlock. And basically, it's the description is a courtroom drama about a cagey Atlanta defense attorney. Brackets drama. But before it, it's, in brackets, Grandpa Simpson's favorite series.
Right, okay.
I like that one.
Oh, you've got a doozy, Rob.
I know, right. So, this is for House of Cards. And it's
Glory. It's not even for House of Cards.
Is it not?
No, it's like some address that Barack Obama did.
Is it? Yeah. I was going by the title above.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so
the title,
it's the joke, it
would apply to House of Cards as well.
Right. Okay. So this is for a presidential address. I'm assuming it's a full presidential address. Oh no! It's when Barack Obama took office as the president. It's when he did the oath of office.
Do you want to read it out?
Yes, I'm going to read it out. It says NR. I don't know what that means. Barack Obama takes the oath of office as the 44th President of the United States at the U.S. Capitol in sexual situations, violence, explicit language, strong language, fantasy violent, adult situation, brief nudity, graphic, and then it says, record length, 7 hours, do not delete.
I mean, we all knew Barack Obama wanted to make some changes when he came into office.
Mr. Long Leg Mac Daddy.
Oh, no. It gets worse. Because I've got the description for Sesame Street.
Oh, you do it then. Andy's got the next one.
Sesame Street. It's just a list of situation, brief nudity, graphic language, graphic violence, language, mild violence, nudity, rape, strong sexual.
Yes.
Yeah, the next one's The Wizard of Oz. Transported to a surreal landscape, a young girl kills the first person she meets and then teams up with three strangers to kill again. And that's actually circled in a magazine as well. It's not digital.
Yeah. And
like, that's actually true.
Okay, so
actually, that means that one had to like had to get past editors.
So I've got the last one.
Oh no, you do, you do have the last one.
And the last one is for is I don't know how to describe this. This is just oh my god. It's for a show called In Living Color, right? From 2010. And the description just says black people show.
I would love how the title for this one is just Whoa TV Guide. Not cool.
Yes. Oh, I don't know what to say to
we
this.
We actually shame this company because it's actually written there, but we won't.
I know. I know. I think they've probably been shamed already because it's all over the internet.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, true.
Yes.
So, I think that's about it for us, isn't it? We have been on the box. If you liked what you've heard, you can find more of us in the worldwide internets.
Yes.
We are on Mixcloud, Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube. We have our own website, which is geekshow.co.uk, and you can get in contact at thegeekshow.co.uk. And the thing is, yes, we are a voluntary organization, so we really do rely on the support and help of all our lovely listeners. So if you feel like, you know, helping us out a little bit, there is a donate link on the right-hand side of our website. Or you can visit the Geek Shop, which is also available on the website, where you can buy some of our cool merchandise, which is both merchandise and cool.
Yes, it is.
But until next time, this is the end of the show. I've been Andrew.
And I've been Rob Free, apparently.
Yes, and now we're going to go to Rob
One. War. Because I was here first.
It's going to be contentious with Rob too.
Yes. Well, I was here first.
You were here before all of us, Rob.
Yes.
Yes, you were here before dinosaurs.
Yes.
Anyway, that's it from us. Thanks for listening.